So as we recognize God's ownership and acknowledging his sovereignty over everything, the thing is that I want to talk about this morning is God is more than just sovereign. He's more than just sovereign. In fact, if that's all we focus on, God becomes this ominous, scary being out there, and he is. He is. But you see, there's another side of God that we need to introduce this morning in order to have a balanced understanding of who God is. And it has to do with his generosity, because his generosity is birthed out of his love for us. Because of his great love, he is a generous God. So he's more than just sovereign. He is also the very definition of love. So today, we want to have a complete picture of God's character. We're going to look at God's generosity and how it relates to us and what we have been given stewardship of. In other words, we're not just going to learn something new about God. At the end, we're going to talk about applying it, how we're going to apply it. In fact, at the end of the message, we want to apply God's ownership and his generosity in reference to how we manage our money. Okay, I just have to pause here, because I know anytime a preacher talks about money, it's like people are like, oh, okay, all right, I'm out of here. But before you turn me off, and I understand, I've heard some preachers that just like pound that topic and they're like trying to guilt you into giving and stuff like that. I want you to know, I want you to just hear me out to the end of the message, and then at the end of the message, you decide at that time if what I'm saying applies to you, if you want to apply it to your life. If you're not a follower of Jesus, I just want you to tell you, you're kind of off the hook, because everything I'm talking about is about how the followers of Jesus, how Christians are supposed to manage their money, how they're supposed to do things whenever it comes to the things that they possess. So if you're not a follower of Jesus, you're kind of off the hook, but it also gives you insight. You get to look in the window and see, well, if I decide to follow Jesus, what is that life like? And I want to kind of explain that to you. Now, I know money can be an emotional topic for a lot of people, and I want you to know right up front, I have absolutely no intention of trying to move anybody emotionally. I'm not going to try and guilt you. I'm not going to try and make you feel bad about how you manage your money or what you've done in the past or anything like that. What I want to do is I want to give you biblical truth and just kind of lay it out there and then give you an opportunity to make a decision at the end. And I'm going to offer some steps that if you decide, okay, I want to be like God in the sense I want to be a generous person, I'm going to show you some steps on the way that you can move in that direction. What I want to do is just kind of reason with you today, to show you what the Bible says, so that you can understand it better and understand the heart of God that we serve. Because as followers of Jesus, he's the one we serve. He's the one we yielded our life to, right? Then at the conclusion, I'll show you some steps. I'll show you some steps. And see, here's the main gist of what I want to say today. I truly believe that God expects us to reflect his generosity as members of his body, the church. I'm just talking about that we're supposed to be like Jesus. We're supposed to be like God. And I'm going to talk about that. But before we do, I want to put our memory verse up here, because the memory verse reminds us of the foundation we laid last week, and it's there this time. Isn't that wonderful? Let's all say the memory verse together. Ready, set, go. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Psalm 24:1. That's a great verse to remember, because it reminds us that everything is God's. It's all his. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would accomplish your purpose through this message today. Lord, that it would be you speaking, that anything that comes from me would just fall by the wayside, and that people's ears would be deaf to it. But yet, Lord, I pray that they would hear clearly your spirit speaking to them today about your generosity. We ask this in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what does God's generosity look like? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, it tells us that financial giving is as much a part of our spiritual development as any other spiritual practice. Remember how the Apostle Paul wrote, he says, just as you excel in all these other areas, also excel in the grace of giving. So in Corinthians, it's putting it right up there with every other spiritual discipline. our prayer time, our Bible reading, our spending time together and learning from one another, everything that has to do with our spiritual growth is all lumped together, and it includes how we give, what we do with our finances. So if we want to reflect Christ in our financial giving, we must understand what generous giving looks like. And where's the greatest source to figure that out? You just look at God. Look at what God has been doing and how his generous giving looks like. And so if, for those of you that like to take notes, inside your program there's a half sheet of paper and there's the outline there. You just kind of fill in the blanks and there's some room there for you to add any other notes. I know my wife, she's a big note taker. She likes to do notes as well. So I know there's others as well. But if you want to take notes, there's where it is. But number one there in your notes is that God gives out of love. God gives out of love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 tells us that God is love. It's a very definition of God. And so it makes sense that he would give lovingly, that everything that he doesn't do it because he has to. He doesn't feel obligated to give us anything. He gives to us just because he loves us. John 3:16, many of us are very familiar with John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You see, that just reminds us of part of God's character. And in the same way that God has given us good gifts, he wants us to lovingly give good gifts to others. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. He says, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then know, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" You see, God gives out of love. That's one of the characteristic traits of God's generosity, is giving out of love. Number two, God gives freely. God gives freely. God's gifts really are gifts. Have you ever had somebody that gave you a gift, and then suddenly the relationship changed and you feel like they're expecting something back from you? You guys ever had that happen? Well, that's not really a gift. That was a loan or a payment or something. That's not a gift, because see, gifts don't require anything back. God gives gifts and he gives them freely. They come with no strings attached. He expects nothing from the receiver. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, "Freely you have received, freely give." That admonition, that command of Jesus still applies to us today. It wasn't just for the 12, it's for all those that follow Jesus. So we're supposed to have that same characteristic of giving freely, or to give out of love, or to give freely. Number three is God gives constantly. God gives constantly. Do you remember in the Lord's Prayer that Jesus said, "Give us today our daily bread"? It reminds us that God gives unceasingly. It's like every day that we ask, he's there to give more again and again and again. He's constantly prepared to give. We can count on him to constantly give to us. For followers of Jesus, it's our goal to be like God, not giving just on special occasions or when we are in the mood, but to be constant givers just like God is. I mean, he even gives today. I mean, if we had testimonies, which is what we're going to do next Sunday, we could probably get up here and we could talk about how God has always given. He's always given, always given. Number four is that God gives compassionately. The life of Jesus is a picture of a life of compassion. Everything you see about the life of Jesus just defines what compassion is. He gave help and healing to the poor. He healed the diseased. He helped the needy. He touched everybody he touched. It was all about compassion, about demonstrating that compassion. Now, what's the difference between compassion and love? Compassion is acting on that love. It's the next step. You see, it pleases our Lord when we live like Jesus did, by compassionately giving to others. There's a great example in Acts chapter 10 when the Bible talks about Cornelius. Maybe you guys remember the story about this Roman centurion. And there in Acts chapter 10, it was talking about how he was praying one day and an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And it says that Cornelius gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Then you jump down to verse 4. It says, the angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. In other words, God noticed you. God sees you because of your compassionate giving. Number 5, God gives graciously. The Apostle Paul asks a powerful question. In chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If Jesus isn't even going to spare his own son, how will he not also, along with giving us Jesus, graciously give us all things? If he's willing to give us his son, there's nothing that he's not willing to give us because of his grace. God continues to pour out his grace on us, and we honor that gift when we give to others. Graceful giving points all attention to God and does not seek recognition. Jesus not once said, hey, look at me, look what I'm doing. He was always pointing to the Heavenly Father in everything that he did. And that's what gracious giving is. It's never about getting attention or doing it for yourself. It's all about doing it for the glory of God and giving him the glory and the grace and pointing it to him. Number 6, God gives willingly. No one forces God to give or coerces him. He is sovereign, which we learned about last week. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, and he does whatever he wants. We also have a will and can exercise that will and choose to do whatever we want. We can choose to give or we can choose not to give. We can choose to follow Jesus, we can choose not to follow Jesus. However, there's a difference. As followers of Jesus, our will is to be subject to God's will. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus, is to yield our will to his. So our willingness should reflect God's willingness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, the Bible tells us that God loves a cheerful giver, someone who's willing and happily devoted to God's purpose above everything else. And in other words, they just like, well, yeah, if this helps God's kingdom and stuff, sure. Number 7, God gives sacrificially. Jesus is the ultimate example of sacrificial giving. In Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. There's nothing more powerful, more meaningful than true sacrifice. Sacrifice is the ultimate expression of being like Jesus. And giving sacrificially is giving out of your own lack, not out of your own abundance. Let me give you an example. Let's say I collect cars, and so I got like 5 or 6 cars sitting behind my house, and if I had a garage, in the garage. But I had like 5 or 6 cars sitting there, and I found out somebody needed a car. So I gave them one of my cars. Now that would be noble, it'd be a good thing, but it's hardly sacrificial. Now if all I had was one car, and I found out somebody needed a car, and I gave them my car, that's sacrificial giving. A lot of times whenever it comes to giving to God, we don't really do sacrificial giving. We do what's convenient. And you see, that doesn't reflect God's character. God gives out of love. He gives freely. He gives constantly. He gives compassionately. He gives graciously, willingly, and sacrificially. Now that I've kind of painted a picture of the kind of giving that God does, the question is that how your giving looks like? Do those adjectives describe how you give? Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, Jesus is speaking and he says this. This is on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, be perfect, therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now I want to kind of elaborate on this a little bit. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Peter is quoting from Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 and 45, also chapter 19 in Leviticus, verse 2, when we are told that God tells us, but just as he who called you is holy, So be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now the thing is, whenever the Bible's talking about us being perfect and being holy, it's not talking about a holy glow you have because you have attained a certain level of purity. Okay? What it's talking about, being complete, mature, set apart for something special. In other words, for us to meet the standard of perfect and holy in our giving, as well as any everything else in our lives, it needs to look like God's generous giving. In order for us to attain that level of perfection or holiness that the Bible talks about, it means our lives need to look like Jesus in character, in the traits that we have, and how we live our lives, the decisions and choices we make. You see, Jesus commands us to be like God. And this kind of giving reflects God and spiritual maturity. In fact, let me just throw another plug in here. In a few weeks, in August, I'm going to be teaching a series called Get Centered. It's all about spiritual growth. I want to teach you about spiritual growth, what the Bible says about spiritual growth. I want to teach you how to evaluate yourself and where you're at in your spiritual growth, and then how you can grow, things you can do in order to grow. Because it's not this real complicated, difficult thing to grow spiritually. But Jesus, he commands us to be like God, and this kind of giving that we're talking about this morning, it's a reflection of God, and it reflects spiritual maturity. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I want to jump over there. If you ever get a chance and you want to really learn what the Bible says about what to do with your, you know, how, about giving money and stuff like that, read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. It's all full of stuff, of instructions that the Apostle Paul gave the Corinthian church about giving. But I want to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. He writes this, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously," say generously, "will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion." And that's what I'm saying. I'm not here to force anybody to give. I just want to teach you what the Bible says, and then it's up to you. Because I don't want you giving because, oh, Pastor Blake says I should give. No, that's not the reason you should be giving anything. He says, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, let me tell you something. I know how tough this is. I know how tough, because I have an income, I have bills to pay, and I have a responsibility to give as well. And so we're all in the same boat on this, okay? It's just a real battle because there's certain things, you know, sometimes you want to buy something and you don't have the money to do it, and you know you should be giving, you know, it's like the Holy Spirit saying, you know, you should be giving to this, you know, you should be doing this or doing that with your money. And it's like, yeah, but I really, it's hard. It's hard. We all fight that selfish and possessive nature that's part of our sinful nature. The fact is, we cannot possibly do this without the work of the Holy Spirit in us. That's why if you're not a follower of Jesus, you're kind of off the hook because you can't do this anyway. Because you need the Spirit of God in you in order to look like God in your giving, to live out a generous life like what is described here. This is exactly why God sent us the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to strengthen us and encourage us to do what is right. When we do what is right, that makes us righteous. And the only thing that is required in order to become a generous giver, like what the Bible talks about, notice I'm not talking about tithing. We'll talk about that in 2 weeks. I'll teach you what the Bible says about tithing. But the thing is we're not talking about tithing. I'm not saying you're supposed to do 10%. I'm not saying that. The Bible says you're supposed to be generous. You and me, as followers of Jesus, we're supposed to be generous people. And so how do you get there? Well, you simply start by being willing. Just having a willing heart and saying, okay, God, I want to be like you. I want to be a generous person. I want to be a generous giver. And so how do you get to that level of generosity with what God has given us? Because God has given all of us different levels of incomes, You know, all of us are at different places. But see, spiritual growth is just that. Spiritual growth is a process of growth that takes time. Nobody becomes a Christian and instantly begins to live just like they're supposed to. Nobody becomes a follower of Jesus and instantly begins to do all the things that are right. It's a growth process. Let me just say, I've never met anybody like that. If you meet somebody that's like that, let me know. I want to meet them. I don't know anybody like that. Nobody jumps from being a spiritual baby to spiritual maturity. It's a growth process. And it's the same thing in our giving, as well as every other spiritual discipline that we practice. So here's what I want to challenge you with today, okay? I believe everybody falls into five categories of givers, okay? Everybody here is in one of these five categories when it comes to our money, okay? And they all reflect where you are in your spiritual journey. And it's not a bad thing. Some's not better than others. We're just in different places in our journey, okay? That's like me getting upset because a five-year-old isn't able to drive a car. You know, that's just not right. That five-year-old should be able, well, you know, you got to let the five-year-old grow up, you know? Just like all of us, we got to let each other grow up. And so all these reflect where you're at in your spiritual journey, and it's okay. What matters is you're working on growing your faith and getting deeper in your walk with God. And all of this has to do with how much you can believe God for. At our missions committee, we were talking about believing God. Because, you know, we're doing missions fund now, and we've started, I'm going to mention this at this one. We've added three more missionaries. We're now supporting six missionaries because of your guys' commitment to give to missions over and above what you're already giving. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's $300 a month that's going out to support six missionaries. And we're going to get a bulletin board up there, and we're going to get little plaques up there. You're going to know exactly who it is we're supporting and everything. And the thing is we're having an impact in the kingdom of God around the world now with our finances. So that's a good thing. But the thing is, one of the things we talked about is the fact that it takes faith to believe that God's going to provide. Because we're sitting there and we're thinking, okay, we have all these different people that have committed to a certain amount of money to give each month. What if they don't? There's the doubt that creeps in. And what I shared with the missions committee is, well, this is a walk of faith for us, just like it's a walk of faith for each of you as individuals. Whenever you make a commitment, God, I'm going to give this amount to missions over and above my tithes as you give it to me. And so it's a walk of faith. As God gives to you, then you just turn right around and you give it back to him. And for us as a missions committee, we're trusting God that he's going to work through the congregation. And you see how it's a wonderful walk of faith? It's a great thing. Okay, five levels of giving. Sorry. Five levels of giving. Everybody falls in one of these five levels. Number one, non-givers. Non-givers. This is someone that has never given any money to further God's kingdom. Maybe you've done a lot of other things. You've served, you know, and worked and done a lot of things, but you've never given any money to God's kingdom. Level two is what I call sporadic givers. Sporadic givers. That's someone that has given at least once or maybe gives on occasion. Usually, now this I'm sure isn't you, but usually this is what describes a sporadic giver. There are people that give God a tip because things are going well, or they're hoping that their gift will persuade God to help them out with something. Usually people that are in the sporadic giving category, usually that's how they give. Number three is consistent givers. Someone that gives on a regular basis, although their gift is not proportionate to their income, they always give something each time they receive income. They put a dollar in there, $5, but they don't give a percentage of what they make, okay? And maybe that's you, and that's fine. Maybe that's where you're at in your walk with God. That's okay. The next level is proportionate givers. This is someone that gives on a regular basis in proportion to their income. In other words, they look at their total income, and what I do in my house, Susan and I, we use our gross income. I've heard of people giving based on net income, but I believe God gave you the gross income. He didn't take the taxes. You know, he gave you the gross income. So we do our proportionate giving based upon our gross income. They look at their gross income, and then they give a certain percentage out of that. But the emphasis is not on how much the percentage is, but the emphasis is on the fact that they're giving a percentage regardless of what it is. Whether it's 1%, 2%, 5%, 10%, 15%, 20%, whatever. That's what I call proportionate givers. And then the fifth level is generous givers. Generous givers are people that give sacrificially above and beyond a tenth in an extravagant and God-honoring way. Now, there's one reason why over a tenth. I'll talk about that in 2 weeks. Because I do believe a tithe is a biblical principle, but we're not under the law anymore. Okay? Jesus fulfilled the law. But we'll get into that in 2 weeks. But generous givers are people that give over and above that tenth. Now, here's the challenge. Look at yourself. What level of giving are you at? The question is, can you trust God to take you to the next level, wherever you're at? If you're a non-giver, can you trust God to provide for you to where you begin to give something? You begin to give something. I challenge you to step out in faith. This is all about faith. It's about walking in faith, trusting that God is going to provide income so you're able to do this. If you're a sporadic giver, I challenge you to step out in faith and get systematic and regular with your giving. In other words, every time you get paid, you take a portion of that, whatever it is, out of your first fruits. The Bible talks about first fruits giving. If you're a consistent giver, I challenge you to step out in faith and get proportionate with your giving. If 10% is too big of a step for you, then trust God with your money by giving 5% or some other proportion. But do it proportionately. Do it proportionately. Susan and I, when we got married, we jumped right in at 10%. We've been doing that we've been married 30 years. We've been doing it ever since. No matter what our income was, is we always strive to give that 10%. Now, if you're already proportional in your giving, I challenge you to trust God more by raising the bar of your giving to the point of being extravagant and sacrificial. Now, I want to share something with you. This is just Susan and me. Once again, we're not here to compare one another. This is between you and God. But just recently, Susan and I talked about it. We prayed about it. And we have accepted the challenge that we feel the Holy Spirit has given us, that we're going to we're going to give 15% of our income. We're going to give our 10%. We're always going to look for 5% over and above. We are going to be 15% givers. And then as God increases our income, we want to increase that percentage. Because God wants us to be generous, generous people. Generous people don't have caps. Sometimes in churches we think, oh, I'm doing my 10%, I've got it. Well, that was the minimal requirement. It was like a biblical principle that we'll talk about in a couple weeks, and it's like a minimum requirement. The New Testament, the only time that the tithe is mentioned is whenever Jesus affirms it, whenever he's talking to some Pharisees and Sadducees and religious leaders. The Apostle Paul, in all of his letters, talks about being generous. Being generous. The bar has been raised by Jesus. But anyway, whatever step of faith you take today, I know our Heavenly Father is pleased with you. If you're going to give for the first time, you never given before and you give for the first time, I know God's going to be like, way to go. Way to go. If you've been given but kind of sporadically, but you decide, oh, I'm going to be consistent from now, God's going to go, way to go. Because the point is not where you are, it's whether or not you're growing. Whether or not you're growing. I just want to encourage you to trust God a little more. Let me close by reading 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gifts of wealth that you've given to us. And I know, Father, some of us are feeling like, wealth, what's he talking about? But Lord, I've been in other parts of the world, and I know, Lord, that even the poorest people here are wealthy compared to people in other parts of the world. Father, we thank you for what you've given to us. And Father, we want to be good stewards. We want to please you in all that we do, and that includes our financial giving. I pray, God, that you'd speak to every heart here and that you would move them to that next place where you want them to be in their relationship with you, where you want them to grow, where you want to stretch their faith and to grow their faith. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you challenge them and encourage them and assure them that you're there, that you're going to take care of them, and that they can trust you with whatever it is that you're calling on them to do today. We ask this in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.